Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends.
Yeah, this is the perfect song after Friday show. We're on the road again, the road to Santa Clara. Welcome on in, it's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, what in the world did we just watch yesterday? The Philadelphia Eagles, all this football team does is win, even when they play a first half that is ridiculously bad. That second half, my goodness gracious, perfection from the quarterback and the offense and the defense. Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. We just watched one of the greatest comebacks in Eagles franchise history. The Eagles are 3-0. Good morning, Hugh. How are we doing?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia.
Hey, you know what today is, man? Today is the day that all reckless speculation will be had.
Okay.
We're going to recklessly speculate today because there is no way on God's green earth that you could tell me that Kevin Petullo was calling plays in the second half. Mm-hmm. You can't tell. Like, I don't care what anybody says. And it's not
right
no
off the bat.
Right off the bat. I'm telling you, he wasn't calling plays in the second half. All those people that said last week that they were playing possum.
Oh, jeez.
Your conspiracy theories are welcome here this morning.
Why are you doing this?
I'm being honest. You cannot sit here.
Yep.
You cannot tell me. I've been in games in halftime, mm-hmm. and I've seen halftime adjustments. That was not a halftime adjustment, Joe. That was a full-fledged other game plan.
Well, it's different offense the second half.
That was a different game plan. You cannot tell me that Kevin Petullo was calling plays in the second half. And if he was, then those folks that said he was playing possum, this team was playing possum, call today because you got it. You have space here.
Mm, well, here's what I know. And Hugh Douglas is starting off with the reckless speculation.
Recklessly speculating.
I don't know who the hell was calling the plays in the second
Kevin
half.
Petullo.
But I like the way they looked in the second half because they were awesome. All right, we got a lot of credit to give out today. We got a lot of celebration today. Your emotion as you watch one of the great comebacks. I mean, really, in the franchise history. That's
yeah,
the best.
That's tops, man. Woo. That might beat Miracle in the Meadowlands.
It's the
number
biggest,
one and two.
It's the biggest one since the Deshaun punt return game when they beat the Giants in 2010. That was ridiculous yesterday. I mean, if you had concern on how the offense looked the first couple weeks, and you were like a lot of us that said, boy, they got to be better. This isn't sustainable. This is the best team they're going to face. All of that came home in the first half because it was like, holy hell. And if it wasn't for the Rams settling for field goals, the game might have been out of reach.
Yeah.
They credit the Eagles defense. They buckled down a little bit. They kept it manageable. But then the second half starts and Jalen gets popped. The ball pops out. Rams score an easy touchdown. It's 26-7. You're like, oh, no, this is going to be a disaster. And then from there, both the offense and the defense took off. Hugh, in the second half, after the fumble, after they were down 26-7, Jalen Hurts, when he had a throw, no choice, 17 of 24, 209 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, one of the most impressive games of his career. And I include big games and postseason games. That was one of the most impressive performances of Jalen Hurts' career. He was outstanding yesterday when he needed to be. And then the defense, I mean, we can call that the Jordan Davis game. My goodness gracious, Jordan Davis, he looked yesterday, and we talked on the pregame show, like finally looking like that first-round pick. He looked like the best defensive player we had in the field yesterday. He stopped a fourth down all by himself. He chased Stafford down in a 3rd-and-2 to force a punt. And then, obviously, the punt, I mean, the block of the field goal and the return, all-time kind of stuff yesterday. 215-592-9494. What a win. What a football team. And we even have some conspiracy theories from you, Douglas.
I don't care what nobody say, man. He wasn't calling that game the second half. Somebody said, Kevin, sit your ass down. Yep. We got this.
Yep.
We got this.
Well, who's calling the plays then?
I don't know.
Didn't sound like Nick Sirianni. He didn't want to give credit for it.
I don't know. I think what happened.
Jalen himself?
Maybe. Maybe.
The Sky Marshal, as some callers called him on Friday, calling the plays himself.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yep.
You know, I got to talk to some folks. I had a chance to talk to some folks that are smarter than me, especially when it comes to that offensive side of the ball, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're like, hey, they were in up-tempo quite a bit. And, you know, when you're in up-tempo, it's kind of on the quarterback.
Well, yeah. I mean, so some people here last week said Jalen should air it out more. Jalen should throw the football.
Oh, so you
take
taking credit for that?
I'm just saying. I wanted him to throw. We threw in the second.
You said take more chances. You
did
say that.
He did take chances.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not denying that. You said it. You said it.
Listen, Jalen Hurts played a whale of a game. And I'm glad they took, what did he call it last year? The straight jacket, the governor?
Yeah, the governor.
Now,
take the governor off.
Look, the score, they were down so much, they had to throw the football in the second half. But I'm glad the first half. Not only did they not play well, right? They had the injury to Lane, and then Matt Pryor comes in, and he was a turnstile. And then finally they put Fred Johnson in. Everybody took a turn, unfortunately. And Jalen was getting popped because of it. And then they got Fred Johnson, and things settled down. But Hughes, the first half wasn't just bad. They also seemed very conservative. Like you mentioned it when we walked in and we were talking to Seth. They had a few third and longs where, all right, you're backed up, you're kind of in trouble, but you could take a shot to one of your receivers, try to get a first down.
That third and 15.
The draw, yeah.
Yeah, that bothered me.
Of course it bothered you.
Because you didn't have, like, I understand we're getting ready for the half.
Yep.
But you're down, and, you know, that's just, if there was any time to take a shot, mm-hmm. I would think that would be it. They decided not to. That kind of bothered me a little bit. And then when you talk about the way that they came out in the second half, it looked like it was going to be more of what it was. And then, to me, you cannot convince me that somebody would say, hey, you know what? We about to freestyle this thing.
Well, you know what? It worked. And maybe if you're telling me who I have to trust to call the plays, is it the players themselves? Is it Petullo? I'll trust the players. I mean, those guys.
Oh, yeah. AJ looks healthy, too.
Yeah, and he looked good. How about the mock cheer when he got his first pass? Yesterday was wild, like an all-timer. When they walked off the field at halftime and they were booed, they earned it. They had 33 yards in the first half.
Yes, they did.
And then they went out there in the second half and they cooked one of the better teams in the NFC. 215-592-9494. All right. I mean, Hugh Douglas led us here. Let's just go full conspiracy theory as we react to an incredible it's really an all-time Eagles victory yesterday over the Los Angeles Rams. Sirianni after the game talking about the staff, finding things that work. Here's Sirianni on what changed in the second half.
Jalen seemed very vocal. There was a lot of communication going on. How impressive was the collaboration with Jalen, Kevin Petullo, yourself, collaborating, communicating about finding the stuff that's working and getting to the
Yeah, obviously, you know, in those scenarios, I'm not going to take any credit for that. Jalen, Kevin, and the offensive staff did a great job of finding things that worked and got us out of the rut that we were in. Any communication with the quarterback is going to be critical. He's the one who's going to give you confidence to, call the things that you need to call. Good question for Kevin, because obviously I'm doing things there. I can't take any credit in that. Those guys did a great job of adjusting and finding the right things to do in that scenario.
All right, so he gives credit to Petullo, Jalen, finding things, credit. I mean, when you hear that, does it add more credence to your theory that someone else is calling those plays?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it also, in my reckless speculation, that's what I'm doing. You go over your way, you go out of your way to heap praise on Petullo, you know, in a game where in the first half, it didn't look right. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to be kind.
Right.
Because I'm already recklessly speculating.
That looked like crap. I mean,
I'm being kind.
They had 33 yards in the half.
Kind.
No, be kind. 33
no,
yards.
No, I'm being kind.
It was bad.
I'm being kind. It didn't look good.
It was bad.
It didn't look good.
They got booed off the field. I mean, let's call it what it is.
It didn't look good.
Yeah.
So you come in the second half. And then before the half, the third and 15 really burned my biscuits. Like, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Because you're down, and everybody and their mama knows you need to throw the ball. You lined up in shotgun and handed it off to the running back. Third and 15, not fourth.
It was a give-up play.
Yeah.
It was conceded.
Not fourth
and
15, third and 15. And you had a couple screen plays that you were out there running. It looked disjointed. And somebody said, I don't know who, you know what? Sit your ass down. I got this. Somebody took the reins of the wheel. Like you like to say, Jalen was in the back seat. Jalen jumped in the front seat and took the reins of the wheel, if that's the case, and change this thing.
Well, good, good.
You cannot tell me that Kevin Petullo was calling plays in the second half. I don't believe it.
Conspiracy Douglas has arrived. All right, before we go any further, what was your feeling when the Rams lined up for the field goal? Like, because I know some people out there are like, I knew he was going to miss. It was our day. It was our comeback. What did you feel, Hugh, as you watched Cardi line up for the field goal to try to win the game? Did you feel like something good was going to happen, or did you feel like, oh, my goodness, this all was for nothing because we're still going to lose this dumb game?
Well, I looked at it like when they were up 26 points, I was like, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking to myself, time is not on your side, right, initially. And then when they line up for field goal, I was like, yeah, I thought this is kind of how it was going to play out, was, you know, you were going to get close, valiant effort, but you're
lose,
not,
yeah.
And to see that, man, I was just like, wow. And to hear, because I heard it, Merrill went bananas.
It is unbelievable.
That
call.
Was old school Merrill,
yes,
right there, man.
Old school Merrill. Merrill will join us coming up at 11. We'll have the Merrill montage. Yeah, I thought he was going to make the kick. I mean, when they got that close, I was like, this isn't that long of a field goal. And this is going to be one of those we look for the positives, but they still lost the game. And then Jordan Davis does what he does and then returns it back. What a moment. Let's hear Jalen Hurts after the game talking about he knew that Jordan or someone up there was going to make a play on that field goal.
We did not quit. Nobody gave up, and in competitive sports, that's what it's about. And I'm very proud of that. I'm not proud of how we started the game. I'm not proud of the flow in which we played, the execution and the focus that we had earlier in the game. But I am proud of everybody not giving up and everybody being determined to find a way to win the game. And there wasn't a doubt in my mind that someone was going to make a play on that field goal, especially looking at those two Georgia guys lined up next to each other. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, we were going to look back and be very critical of ourselves, and that's what we would be.
What a play. And what a day for Jordan Davis. By the way, I mean, I think he could win Defensive Player of the Week and Special Teams Player of the Week. That was an enormous play by Jordan Davis and Howie Roseman. Credit for him picking up that fifth-year option. This kid is getting better here in his fourth year in the NFL. All right, let's hear Greg Olsen, then right to your phone calls coming up here. Greg Olsen called that game with Joe Davis on Fox, and I thought he framed the end perfectly on this football team and what they are right now.
We sat here in these exact seats about 3 hours ago, and we said, while not pretty, while not always perfect, they are the hardest beat in football. And I think today was another perfect example. The difference on offense between the first and the second half was jarring.
Yeah.
That second half style, putting the ball in Jalen Hurts, throwing the ball downfield, challenging them with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, that's what Philly is. That's what they're capable of. And then they always seem to get the stop they need. And then, of course, back-to-back field goal attempts blocked by the big man the second time, Jordan Davis, who takes it back for six. Like, you talk about finding ways to win. I don't know if it exists at any better level than that.
Finding ways to win. I don't know if it exists at any better level than that. That's the Eagles over the last year. What a football team. What a game. Let's react. 215-592-9494. What was the emotion after that one? Shocked, relief, excitement. Kyle, what were you feeling as the Eagles go to 3-0 in one of the craziest games I can ever remember?
Yeah, like I feel like I'm hungover after watching that game.
I need to lie down.
Yeah, and especially now with Hugh coming on here talking crazy right off the jump.
The week has begun.
We're off and rolling. I mean, considering that I basically put this in as a lock that the Eagles are going to lose Friday, I'm like, I'm floored they were able to pull that out, especially considering how they went down. And, I mean, look, for all the talk about they just find ways to win and the stuff about how we talk all the time about whether or not if this team goes down in that way, do they have the ability to crawl back in a game? I know we had a conversation a few weeks ago when we saw Josh Allen and Lamar going back and forth. We're like, would the Eagles be able to win that game? And we were like, no, of course not. They did. I mean, so everybody who yells at us about what Jalen's able to do when he needs to, and about the Eagles just finding ways to win, and they're just 2-0, and all they do is win. I mean, hell, like, have at it today. Like, that was one of those games where I come out of it, and I'm like, man, like, are they really just like those Chiefs teams of the past few years? Like, the Eagles feel like they have now taken the mantle of that team. That, like, how the hell are you going to beat them? If they don't lose that game, I can't, like, go in. I'm done doubting them going into any game, I think, at this point. I think I'm going to completely jump over to the other side and move off of that. Like, I just have to respect the fact that the Eagles, Hurts, the defense, whatever. Like they just find ways.
And yeah, he's different.
It was one of the most incredible games I know we had the Super Bowl and stuff. This to me was a more impressive game by Jalen Hurts than the Super Bowl. I mean, it's one of the most impressive games I've ever seen him play.
Well,
it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the second half, he needed to score on basically every possession. I mean, they needed touchdowns, and even with the defense kind of holding the fourth, they couldn't give the ball back. They couldn't give the Rams a short. They didn't do any of that. After the fumble to start the second half, it was as good as he played in a long time. 215-592-9494. And there was extra impressiveness to it yesterday because they were down. Right? They're not up a score, up two scores where it's like, let's just pile on at the end. No, they needed Jalen Hurts to carry them offensively in the second half. No running game whatsoever. And he was awesome yesterday. And the defense made so many plays in the second half. And the special teams, they won a game yesterday. Chris in Middletown starts us off. What's up, Chris?
Happy Victory Monday, man.
My goodness gracious. What a win. What a crazy day yesterday, Chris. What are you feeling?
Guys, I mean, you're saying it, but what a game. Like, the first half, our offense was as flat as a cushion under Houston, you know, took us on a chair. And then, you know, second half, we immediately turned the ball over. And, you know, give up another quick touchdown. And then the sleeping giant awoke. And mm-hmm. we finally got the offense that, Joe, you were clamoring for mm-hmm. on Friday. You know, that we've all been asking for. And then, you know what's amazing? Just throw it to AJ. No matter what the coverage is, just throw that man the ball and let him, little boy, that's trying to cover him. I mean, it was ridiculous. And you know what, guys? You know who else needs a lot of respect here? And you're touching on it. Coach Nick. Nick deserves praise because his ability to make in-game adjustments, you know, we suffered under Andy Reid forever and used to get so aggravated that he couldn't make adjustments. All this man does with this team is make adjustments. And you know what's amazing? He does it during the game. He does it at halftime. But like Detective Douglas is telling you, he even does it with his own coaching staff. I mean, this is the same man that fired himself as offensive play caller. Why would we be surprised and act like it's a grand conspiracy, like he was trying to tell you here, he's trying to spit facts, that he replaced the play calling mid-game with his own OC? So I'm with you, Hugh. I agree with you, okay? And you know what? He also has this ability to speak to men and light a fire under them to get results. And Hugh, is Hugh even there today? Hugh, are you awake?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm listening because, Chris, I...
He's patting himself on the back.
No,
because people agree with this conspiracy theory.
I mean, it's a fact.
It's not a fact. I mean, you don't know that. We don't know what happened.
You feel it. You feel it, though. It felt different, though.
But you're missing a piece of the conspiracy I need. I need you to tell me who was calling the plays.
Had to be Jalen.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Hugh, I also want you to, you know, after my call, I'd like you to speak to this. And this is a serious question here because, you know, you can teach a man how to do a job, but to inspire and motivate him to do it with his heart and soul into what he's doing is something special. And we have something special here. And I hope you could speak to that. But, guys, I have two additional takeaways from yesterday, mm-hmm. unrelated to the Eagles. There's clearly a quarterback controversy in Minnesota, and I look forward, Joe Giglio, to you listing one Carson Wentz in your top 10 quarterback.
No,
listing.
Absolutely not. Okay? No. Their defense won that game. Let's focus on the Eagles.
Carson, all he does is win, Joe.
Stop.
And then the other thing is Cam Scuttaboo last night. Watching him, this guy reminds me of a more athletic Peyton.
What are we talking about?
What was that? Cam was the running back
who
from
cares?
Minnesota?
He's on my fantasy team.
Oh, that's all right, Chris. We appreciate you. Like, I know it's a big Sunday yesterday.
Too early for Cam Scuttaboo.
Yeah, I don't care about Cam Scuttaboo. I don't. Now, the Wentz thing, it applies, right? We got our eye on what's going on there, especially because Eagles will play Minnesota next month.
Get that man off the phone.
I could care less about Cam Scuttaboo on a game I had to turn off at halftime. That was ugly football. Let's go to Aaron in San Diego. Aaron, the Sky Marshal delivered in the second half. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning,
what
Aaron.
A glorious morning it is today. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's just take a minute. Let's point out some honorable mentions and some stars of the game. First off, that first half, as ugly as it was, there was one star of the game in the first half. And that was, I don't know if it's Brandon or Braden Mann, but our punter,
Braden. I think it's Braden,
kicked us out of some situations that forced the Rams to kick field goals, and that's ultimately, I think, what kept us in the game. And then,
yeah, you know, Aaron, before you go off on the Sky Marshall, and you should, because he played great in the second half. There was a few unsung kind of heroes yesterday on why they won that game, and the punter, you could say. I'll throw Zach Bond in. If Zach Bond doesn't make that interception on the Rams' first drive, I don't think the Eagles score a point in the first half, because the way their offense was going in the first half, I don't think they had the ability to go the whole field. So they were set up on the 38. They scored. So, like, all those little things kept it to a point where it was like, all right, they're down, but it's only three scores. It's not four or five scores. And then they went off.
And then, Joe, the one kid that has gotten nothing but heat, he's been called a bust at times. I mean, you've got to just feel absolutely fantastic this morning for one Jordan Davis. I mean, the kid just played the game of his life. And as good as he was on the field, he just seems to be that good of a person, you know, behind the scenes. So got to be so happy for him. And then I got to tell you, I sent you a text yesterday. And it was actually a sarcastic text.
You know, Aaron sent me a message, the Sky Marshal Jalen Hurts. And Aaron, I didn't see it right away, so I assumed you sent it during the comeback. And then I looked at the timestamp and I was like, this guy sent it at halftime when he had 30 yards passing? What is he talking about? But maybe you just saw it coming because he was awesome in the second half.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to send a big thank you out to Verse, because I think that sack, and which should have been roughing the passer, but it wasn't called. I think that woke the Sky Marshal up, and to watch them that next series just go down the field flawlessly. I mean, 209 yards passing, 66% completion rate, 3 touchdowns. Ladies and gentlemen, 19-1 in his last 20 games. There is one thing that you cannot deny, is that the Sky Marshal, Jalen Hurts, all he does is win, baby, win, baby.
Well, that's true.
Let's go, Birds. And, hey, Joe, this is every year. In 2017, we had the Jake Elliott kick against the Giants. Last year, I think the Rams game last year.
It was the Saints game last year. Saints. Well, Aaron, how about this? Ready for this symmetry? 2017, 61-yard field goal by Jake Elliott, week 3 against the Giants. Last year, 61-yard Dallas Goedert play against the Saints in week 3. Aaron, do you know how long that return by Jordan Davis was yesterday for the touchdown?
Joe, why don't you tell me how long that was?
It was 61 yards, Aaron. 61 yards in week 3 last year. 61 yards in week 3, 2017. 61 yards yesterday. Hugh, you know what that math tells me?
What does it tell you,
Joe? It tells me we're going to Santa Clara, California in February. 215-592-9494. All right, Eagles win one of the wildest games I could ever remember. We're reacting with you on the phones all day. You're feeling after seeing what you just saw yesterday. Hugh Douglas starts early with the conspiracy theories. Petullo was stripped of play calling at halftime. We don't know who was calling the plays, but somebody was. And, of course, the Merrill montage. How it all sounded right here on WIP. That's next. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, that mental toughness, this is what I need you guys to have in your time. I need you to have it the rest of the season. I need you to have it the rest of the time you're an Eagle. And I need you to have it the rest of the time you're in life.
Yes, sir.
That there's going to be times we're f***ed out. There's going to be times we don't want to get back up. All right? We don't want to get back up, but we pick our f***ing selves up, yes, and we keep getting up.
Yes,
all right? You guys got to remember that for me. All right? Because that's what this team did today. There's something dangerous about a team that doesn't stop fighting. There's something dangerous about a team that doesn't stop fighting.
Something dangerous, Sirianni, post-game speech in the locker room as the Philadelphia Eagles come back and win one of the wildest games I've ever seen in pro football. Certainly the best comeback the Eagles have had in the regular season since the miracle at the Meadowlands 3, I guess it was. Whenever it was always numbered differently. But the one, the last one, in 2010 with Deshaun's punt return. What an incredible game. So they were dueling 26-point runs in that game, right? Eagles go up 7-0. Rams score the next 26 unanswered. Then the Eagles finish the game with 26 unanswered of their own. I mean, we could watch football for the next 50 years and never see a game like that.
Yeah. I mean, the closest thing you compare it to is the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Falcons.
But
you
know? Yeah, which was crazy. But that only had one – like this
had one. I know what you're saying.
This had multiple 26-point runs.
But my point is that game looked like it was out of hand. It was just going to get worse. And then you look at what the Rams were doing. At that point, they were just sitting on it.
So at points yesterday, it reminded me of two games from 2 years ago. When it was bad, it reminded me of that 49ers game. I think Ike mentioned in the pregame show yesterday that the Rams were coming in with that kind of
energy,
like we're going to smack them, we're going to show them last year was a fluke and all that stuff, right? And then they kind of did that for the first, 32 minutes. They looked like that. And then it turned into the Buffalo game from 2 years ago where the Eagles, if you go back to the Buffalo game 2 years ago where Jalen won it on the walk-off throw, I think the first half, Jalen had a very similar kind of first half to what he did yesterday, which was they just didn't have any passing yards. Like it was like 20 or 30 or very tiny amount. Mm-hmm. And then the second half just exploded, maybe because, maybe the play calling was stripped from Kevin Petullo. I love the conspiracy theory, Douglas.
Well,
over here.
Okay.
I'm not being facetious. I love it.
I know you're not, but let's look at it like this. Like I said, I've been in a lot of locker rooms and I've been in a lot of halftime adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Halftime adjustments aren't that big. You know what I mean? Say, hey, they're running the ball. We need to change the line of scrimmage, or we need to adjust in the line, and we need to see this, that,
right.
Whatever. Like small stuff, because you don't have much time. Man, that was a whole different game plan.
Well, wasn't it because they had to? They're running out of time. Well, you're down 3 scores. You can't run the ball anymore.
Now let me say this. Well, if that's the case, when you're playing a game where you're down and you're talking about possessions,
right?
You threw away a possession before the half when you on 3rd and 15 when you ran the ball.
Right, but at that point they were only down 2 scores.
Yeah, but still you're still down.
I agree, and I didn't want them to run the ball there. I'm just saying I wonder how much the second half was. We have no choice but to open it up.
I mean, it probably was a little bit of that, but when you talk about the way the first half started, it didn't start out great.
Mm-mm.
Did not start out great. And my thing is this. Why would you have such a disjointed first half like you had? And then come out and say, "Okay, I'm done playing." See, that's why I feel like the possum theory comes into play. Well, if you say it like that. I'm just saying.
I'll walk with you on Petullo with the play call.
Listen,
they weren't playing possum. They were getting their ass kicked.
But I'm not saying they were. But listen to what I'm saying.
Oh boy,
when you're in a position like that. Listen to what I'm before y'all start signing and doing all y'all.
I'm done listening to what you're
saying. Possum? They were down 19.
Are you guys going to listen?
I've already tuned you out.
You're down 19.
Yeah.
So your thought process is to keep running the ball knowing that possessions matter?
As soon as they went down 19, they started throwing.
They started trying to throw. They started trying. Well, because it wasn't there, but AJ wasn't targeted in that first half.
Let me say it this way. As soon as they were down 19, they stopped trying to run into the line.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they stopped trying to say we're gonna ground and pound it. We got to open it up. It took off, and the AJ thing, Hugh. That it's amazing. It took 2.5 games to unlock him.
Yes.
Once they unlocked him, it was like oh,
and he was hot. Like the storylines were building themselves.
Of course,
because
they
when
were.
You're watching the game as what we do for a living, you're already talking about, or you're already trying to set up how tomorrow might go.
Mm.
And one thing that stuck out to us immediately was. When AJ was targeted, and I think it was right before that, when he walked off the field,
yeah,
like they didn't get the ball to him. He had 1-on-1, and he walked off the field.
Not great.
And then you come back, and this is why I think that the possum thing it might be valid. It might be somebody else calling plays. When the second half rolls around, you start feeding AJ because he still had 1-on-1, and he started beasting fools like he was out there like King Kong, Godzilla.
He's like a power forward. You just dump the ball to him in the post, and like
and
his body's too big.
Yeah, he bodied him. And
the
he
one third
healthy.
And 10 where the corner was coming up and almost swatted away, and he just used his frame to like box the guy out. He's awesome.
You need to do that. You need to do that more.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like it might have been possum a little bit. But I feel like it was more. They gave, they stripped.
There's no possible. There's no possible.
I'm saying, man, every theory today is valid.
Nothing.
All right, whether but, you want to listen, so, if you want to believe it or not, no, it's valid.
Not every theory.
Almost everyone.
No, well, a lot. Not that one.
A lot of.
You're gonna sit here. Have you ever been on a team in a locker room where somebody was playing possum?
I've never listened.
Okay,
Kyle,
I just wanted to get that out of the way.
You're right.
Like, that's not a
and you
thing.
Did play 10 years.
It's not a thing.
I don't think it's a thing. But okay, it's how do you explain what we saw yesterday?
Nine, even if we want to take away Jacksonville, you played a long time.
How do you explain what happened?
Have you ever seen a comeback in the NFL?
Not like that. Have you ever seen a different game?
Hold on. That's the second biggest Eagles comeback ever. So we have seen a comeback like that.
Kyle, we've seen it, but a wholesale game plan change.
Well, you have no choice.
You're gonna make me have to fight with you today.
No, I'm saying they scrapped the whole game plan.
You're going to give me nonsense
they
like they're playing possum.
The whole game
because
plan.
They were down three
all
scores.
All the theories are valid.
No,
all I'm
not.
Saying is the people that said they were playing possum,
no,
you don't
no.
sound so crazy.
No, yes, you do.
That's all I'm
yes,
saying.
You do.
I'm not saying it's the truth.
Nobody plays possum to go down 19 points so that one of the best teams in the NFL.
Really. Really show them now. I walk with you on the Petullo thing. Petullo could have lost play calling. I mean, he could have. I mean, someone may have taken. I mean,
it might have been possum too.
No,
I'm just giving the people that said they
the Rams play reverse possum.
The people that all I'm saying is the people that said they were playing possum.
No,
they have their right to the field the way that they feel. That's all I'm saying.
Harry's and we can all feel excited. They're 3-0 and they just had an amazing comeback. Lamar in Philly's going to come after me today. Lamar, what's up, pal?
Yo, he was good.
What's up, man?
Hey, Lamar.
I don't want to think from anybody today, but you and Ike.
Wait a minute, you can't. But see, Lamar, I hear what you're saying.
That's just too bad. Yeah.
But Joe's kind of like the QB of the show and everything. You got, you know.
But listen, for weeks, we keep hearing everybody criticize Hurts, right? Hurts have let Joe said it earlier when you guys started. He's letting the cat out the hat. He said it after the Super Bowl, they let me out of my straitjacket.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't after the Super Bowl.
Then he said yesterday in the post game, he said to the reporter, "We got to stop calling the game basically so safely." So at the end of the day, when you look at it, these play calls, they don't work when you're down 26-7. You got AJ for 2 to 3 games, and everybody in Philly. Although he's 19-1 in his last 20, you turn on the radio, I mean, it starts from the 2 o'clock show. I'm not going to even mention those guys.
Joe Lamar, hold on. Lamar, why are you not excited today? Why are you sensitive about Jalen Hurts?
I am excited.
No, you're
I'm
not.
Excited.
No, you,
I'm extremely excited.
No, but you sound frustrated when all anyone was saying is the offense didn't look good, because we all know it can look like it did yesterday. Like, I'm so curious when people don't understand, don't see things the way I do. I'm curious. I'm not upset. I want to get into a conversation. When you watched the first half, what did you think, Lamar? You thought it was crap.
I thought the play calling was awful.
Okay, so all right, so let's start with here. Okay, I agree with you to an extent. The play calling was bad in the first half. It wasn't good. Jalen also didn't play well in the first half. Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure. I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that? You thought he played well in the first half with 33 yards passing?
I didn't say he played well. I said the play calling was horrible.
But I asked you, do you think he played well? The point is, when Jalen plays well, we all say he plays well. He didn't play well in the Kansas City game. He played great in the second half. I think the thing that it's hard for some people to understand is he's not super consistent in his play. His ability his ability is there. I have never questioned the guy's ability since the moment they took him out of Oklahoma. He's got ability. He doesn't always do what he did yesterday. And they needed him yesterday, and he performed at a special level. But we can't pretend that's there every game. It's not.
It's not there every game because he's telling you in these little tidbits.
Okay.
They're calling the game so conservative.
So, okay, let's go off of your point. So if Jalen could do what he did yesterday every game, then we got to have the dumbest coaches in the world because we should do that every game.
Let me ask you this.
If the Eagles coaches thought that they could do that every single quarter of every single game, we would do it every single quarter of every single game because that's Peyton Manning kind of throwing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let me ask you something, Joe. Do you not think that Jalen think that he's capable of throwing the ball to A.J. Brown when he's catching overhand, one-hand passes?
Of course I do. Of course I do. I also realize that that's not the way he plays every half of every game, and that's okay. I mean, like, no one does, right? That's MVP of the league. That's Peyton Manning kind of level of football. That's okay, but I don't understand why you're upset. He played great. We're all excited.
It's not that I'm upset. It's the simple fact that the play calling yesterday was horrible. You said that I think he played good in the first half. The first half,
well,
I don't know who
he
the guy was
good.
At tackle. Well, you can't play good at the first half if Pryor is letting his man just Olay-ing. If he's letting his guy run right by him, you're not going to play good because you can't even look down the field because you're getting your head torn off.
Well, that was a big problem. But, yeah, of course. Lane went out, and the offense was in trouble until they put Fred Johnson in. I agree, but we can't. Lamar, you could say there's a reason why he didn't play well in the first half, play calling, but he didn't play well in the first half. I mean, that's just a fact.
Listen, I understand as a team they didn't play well as a team game. Yeah. If you're getting your head blitzed in, you're not going to play well. But, Joe, they have to. They have to. There's a such thing as the first 15 plays are scripted. You mean to tell me when Sirianni sits down, they don't say throw the ball to 11? In the first 36 minutes?
I don't know what they're doing over there, Lamar. Lamar, we preached a phone call. I sat here last week. I said, let Jalen throw the football. Let it rip. I wanted more throws on Sunday. Now, I didn't think it would have to be the way it went yesterday. That was very extreme. But I'm glad they opened it up. They have too many good players here to just have two tight ends in the whole time and hand the ball off. Like, Saquon's great. But they need to open it up. Finally, the second half, we heard it yesterday and saw it. Speaking of hearing it, can we hear how this sounded? A Merrill montage on one of the great comebacks in Eagles history.
It's home sweet home for the Eagles. Lincoln Financial Field, where they've won 11 straight games. Today they will be challenged to keep it going by the also 2-0 Los Angeles Rams. Back goes Stafford. He's going deep. He wants Adams. He's got him for a touchdown. 44 yards, Stafford to Devontae Adams. Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. They got him. McCullough coming in on Hurts, and he didn't have a prayer. Pass comes out in the flat. Williams is going to dance it in. Automatic. Timeout on the field with the score, 26-7, Rams. He's going deep down the far side of the field, and it is caught. A.J. Brown down near the 30.
That's where you need to go with the football.
Hurts steps up again. He is firing. It's caught. It's a touchdown for Dallas Goedert.
That's what the offense should look like. Now we're clicking.
Back goes Hurts. He's going for Brown. Touchdown! Inside the white pylon.
You've got A.J. Brown out there. He's in a one-on-one. That's a winning situation.
It's fourth down and one. Can they stop him? Tight formation. Nobody split. Down the Kula in motion. Handoff goes to Williams, and they shut him down! They stop him in his tracks! This is another short one, 36 yards. Here it is. Ball is spotted. The kick is blocked! It's blocked! And it's bouncing around in the Eagles' helmet. They blocked the kick! It is fourth and goal. This is the game right here. Hurts looks. Hurts fires. Complete! Touchdown! They take Smitty. The lead, Smith.
Smitty.
It's Smith, Devontae Smith.
Smitty.
Into the end zone, they take the lead. Eagles are going for two. They lead 27-26. These 2 points are important because otherwise the Rams can march down and beat them with a field goal. Here's Hurts. Back again, he fires, it is incomplete. Intended for Devontae Smith, so we will have to breathe a little heavier. Hold your breath. They blocked them the last time. The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
Do you believe in miracles?
The Rams are standing silent. They can't believe what just happened to them. Successive field goal blocks win it for the Eagles. What a great, great game. What a great, great comeback. And the final score is 33-26.
Now that's a great montage after a great day. By the way, you know the last time the Eagles blocked two field goals in the same game?
It was like in the 60s, wasn't it?
It was September 21st, 1975, which was exactly 50 years ago yesterday.
I remember it well.
You were there. I mean, what a game. You were around.
I was about three. Sound about right. What's my favorite memory about that game?
That game, yeah.
Besides the two-block field goal.
Oh, yeah, that was it. That was it. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Who'd you take in that game? You take the Eagles? Points? Yeah, I figured.
Knew I was going to be here one day.
Yep. Let's talk to Black Gritty, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Black Gritty.
Hey, guys. So, first of all, let me articulate what the last call was trying to say. Mm-hmm. You guys, certain people at the station, don't ever take credence to what we say. Jalen Hurts is a winner. Everything you say that he needs to do, he needs to buy the Super Bowl, he needs to bring us back, he needs to come back to others. When we say all he does is what's necessary to win, he doesn't care about the stats, and you guys poo-poo it and are negative about him a week, and then you want to party with us on Monday when he blows up. That's why he feels that way. I fully understand what he's talking about. So let me just tell you something. You know who has the most double-digit comebacks since 2020? It's Patrick Mahomes. We don't run after him. Jalen Hurts. With 10. But every year, we got to see what he does when he's down. You know what he does when he's down? He does what Hugh does. He goes out there and speculates. After that opening drive, he went over there to the defensive line and said, yo, help me again, baby. I know y'all doing it, dog, but keep it going. And then he got on Petullo. Petullo was sitting on the bench, and Jalen Hurts was standing above him, so much so barking down at him, he had to stand up and say, okay, player, you go call it. And that's what he did. Walked out of field. A.J. Brown is always up 24-7, 365.
I missed that.
No holidays, okay? No holidays. So you can speculate out on that, you, because that Coach Hurts was out there being Tom Brady.
I need to
and
see
he
that.
Mm. Had an upset I didn't see that. And they went, did they maybe do anything? And Jordan Davis, I appreciate you making all the big boys look sexy. Look at my man that dropped 26 pounds, running 18 miles an hour, two block field goals, Tom Quinn don't do whatever. Talk about my quarterback is. I didn't go talk about them posts on an afternoon show. Jalen Hurts, you know what? Bury me in a Jalen Hurts jersey because I'm coming back to life right afterwards. Go back!
All right, Black Gritty. Great phone call. Look, Jalen Hurts played great in the second half. He did.
No doubt.
I mean, he did. And the when he said, when everyone gets, we have fun when you say he does whatever it takes to win. Yeah, days like yesterday is today's the day to say that. He did what it took to win. When the second half arrived and they had the fumble, and it was his fumble, and it set up the score for the Rams, they had to score every time after that. They had to move the ball quickly and score through the air. No run game, no big plays from Saquon. It had to be Jalen, and he did it.
I try to come on here, try to give Jalen his props.
Yep.
And then people got to go too far and take me the other way. Like, are we going to come on here after that game and be like, that's what he does every week?
Yes.
Well, no, he doesn't.
It's not. It's not true. I'm very glad that he just did it. I'm glad to see that he's capable, if necessary. But we're going to sit here and act like the Kansas City Chiefs game and the game before that, or like, I guess the second half of the Cowboys game before that, and for long stretches of last season, wasn't like pulling teeth.
Yes.
Like, okay, well then we're doing the live your truth nonsense.
Yeah. Yes. Now here's
okay.
here's what
you asked me.
Okay.
I'm like, yes. That's
okay.
What we're doing.
Here's what here's what you're free to. There's two ways to go about this. You can say everyone that ever doubts Jalen Hurts or doesn't say he's the best quarterback of all time is a loser today. I'm a winner. You trump card to you. All right. If you want to go at it, but that's not reality. As Kyle just said, it's not the way he consistently plays. But now I will go towards a Hughism. Live your truth. If you want to wake up today and say, if they take the reins off him, he can do this more often, I'm not going to fight you on that. He
it's something. Totally.
It reminds me of Russell Wilson in Seattle. A lot of his career was hand the ball off, play defense. But at some point, they said, we're going to let Russ cook. And Russ put up some big numbers for some years. If you believe Hurts could do this more often, then now, the moving forward, it's on the Eagles' offense, whoever the hell's calling the plays, Hugh, to let him do it. Because the best version of the Eagles' offense we've seen through three games this season
is that.
So that if you feel that way today, you can feel that way, and I'm not going to fight you on that because maybe that's this year's team's best way of scoring. Go for it. Let him cook.
Yeah, right. I just don't know why we have to pretend the second half of that game is what we've seen out of this offense and the quarterback every game. It's not. I would love it to be. Clearly, they're capable of it being that way. Then take the straitjacket off of the season.
Let Hurts cook.
It is one of the absolute weirdest things that I've ever seen. I'm not going to lie. I know I've been, sitting here, telling people to live their truth about, how they feel about this game and everything like that. But it is the absolute weirdest thing that I've ever seen.
So the question I have moving forward is, was it done out of, hey, the light bulb went off? Or was it done out of, hey, we have no choice. We have to do this. And then when we get to next Sunday in Tampa, they go back to doing what they really planned to do the whole time anyway. Like, was this kind of like, Hugh, was it a jumping off point to the rest of the season? Or was it a blip? We're not going to know that until we get to Sunday in Tampa.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing. You know, we have a show to do, and you're asking me a question.
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, that I don't either, Joe, but I'm going to try to answer it the best that I can. I didn't see the tay-to-tay on the sideline. But to me, there's obviously what's the word I want to use? I don't want to be too disrespectful today, even though I've been super disrespectful already. There's a disagreement. There's not a meeting of the minds of certain things that are being called or ran, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Recklessly speculating. I have nothing, people, to back this up on. I just woke up this morning thinking about the plays that I saw, the way that they played in the second half.
Right.
And this is the conclusion that I came up with. So, moving forward, I know Coach Sirianni, and this is me reading the tea leaves, listening to what's being said, because to me, Coach Sirianni went out of his way to heap praise on Kevin Petullo, Coach Petullo, in the second half and how they made adjustments. I think that there was some, I'm going to do my own thing. I really do. I think that there was a little bit of, hey, you know what? I got this. Because that's kind of what it felt like. Because you came out in that second half, and it felt like more the first half at the beginning.
Well, the fumble, yeah.
Yeah,
he got sacked
it felt
by
like
Burks,
a little
yeah.
bit more the first half. And then it was like, you know what? Damn it, I got this. And it felt like he took over to a certain extent. Now, from what I've been told, because I've never been on that side of the ball, a lot of times when you go up tempo, that's on the quarterback. So the only thing I can assume is that that was all Jalen.
Look, and when that happened, it was the best version of the offense we've seen the entire season.
Now, I will say this. Now, going 2 minute a whole game up tempo a whole game. A lot of times, you hear people say that's impossible
yeah,
to do.
But we could start that way.
Yeah.
We could start that way, get a lead, and then we salt the game away.
And I tell you what, that defense, sorry, Kyle, but that defense played their ass off yesterday because there was
no
they played a lot in that first half.
And you know what they did? When they held the Rams to field goals, they kept it manageable.
Yes.
That's why yesterday was allowed to be the way it was. If they were down 37-7, the comeback doesn't happen. It stayed in a range where it's like, it's probably not going to happen, but man, they're only down three scores.
I waited long enough to do this.
There we go.
But I need to rain on Hughes Parade a little bit.
What do you mean?
They were panning to Kevin Petullo calling plays on the sideline in the second half.
That don't mean nothing.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind then.
In the second half. Wait, no, what
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes. No, but during the comeback, they were showing him with the play sheet. And
that,
the headset.
That don't mean nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was probably
okay, so
he's
Kyle.
Probably calling his mom.
Feelings
then.
Over facts.
Yep, that's
no,
right here.
No, mm-hmm. So Kyle, my thing is this.
Forget logic and truth.
I'm not saying, you're living your truth.
No. I'm not living my truth.
You're
living
your truth.
No, I'm living the
truth. But what
truth.
I'm saying is this. Why did it look so different in the second half?
I don't know, but we had evidence.
Why was he so anemic in the first half?
I don't know, but I'm going off of what I saw.
Can I
okay,
answer?
He can still be out there looking, and look, he can be looking at the menu.
Was he having a chat with his kids and mom at home?
He probably
or
was talking to Jalen, say, what are you feeling on this? And Jalen said, you know what? Right. Don't even worry about it, playboy. Okay. I got this.
I think they had to
throw. That's probably what he said.
I think they had no choice but to throw.
No, it's probably a little bit of that, but it looked so much different than it did in the first half.
It was formationally, they opened it up. Enough of the two tight end crap or running into eight-man boxes. They opened it up, and they let Jalen Cook.
And let's not forget Lane. Lane was hurt.
Well, you know, and Fred Johnson coming in. Yeah, because enough of the prior stuff. I never want to see that again. 215-592-9494. All right. We'll be joined next. All your phone calls, as well as the man who called all the action yesterday on WIP. Merrill Reese joins us, and then it's back to all your calls. It is the Midday Show after a ridiculous comeback by the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.